I know Brother Dan said this already, but I will reiterate it again. Thank you, thank you, thank you to each and every one of you who have served our country and put your life on the line for us. So we thank you. We thank you. Boys and girls, you may go to Children's Church now, ages 4 years old through kindergarten. The rest of you should have received an outline in your bulletin this morning. If you did not, if you'll raise your hand, our ushers will get you one of those here momentarily. Turning your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. This morning we are continuing in our series on the book of Acts. And believe it or not, eventually we'll get through the whole book. I know some of you kind of doubt that, but listen, there's a lot of stuff in here. Do you know every passage that we look at, you know, I could probably preach 3, 4, 5 sermons from each passage. Did you know that? Maybe more than that. And so we're going at a pretty good clip, I think. So, you know, we're not going too slow. You know, there's an old joke some of you have probably heard before. Someone once said that preachers are kind of like manure. All right? Have you ever heard that before? Maybe not. Well, here's the reason why. It said if you get too many of them in one place, or they get too concentrated, too many in one place, it can begin to stink a little bit. You got to spread them out in order to do more good. Okay? Well, I believe Christians are like that as well. I believe, you know, now we need to gather together, right? We need to gather together and we need to fellowship together. We not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But if that's all we do, if, you know, we as Christians have a tendency that we want to gather in little groups and we want to study God's word. But if we never get out beyond these four walls, friends, that's where we're going to do the most good. Amen? That's where we get out among the lost, we get out in the world. Well, friends, that's exactly what we see happen in our text today. If you remember, as we looked at the book of Acts, the church started in what city? Jerusalem. Okay, the church started in the city of Jerusalem. And what we're going to see here in chapter 8 is there's a shift that begins to take place. Acts chapters 1 through 7 is really concentrated, and what we see is the spread of the gospel in the city of Jerusalem. And here in chapter 8, they get outside of those walls a little bit. They get outside of Jerusalem. But you know what? It was kind of forced on them. It shouldn't have been. Remember the command Jesus gave them back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Look back there, if you will, with me. Just flip back a couple of chapters. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus left a command. It's kind of a restatement of the Great Commission, isn't it? Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, the surrounding region, and to the uttermost parts of the world, to the end of the world." So it was kind of like a bullseye. As Jesus started, the disciples were right there in Jerusalem, and they were to witness for him in Jerusalem and see people come to know him, and then they were to go out from there in the surrounding regions of Judea and Samaria, and then continue to go out all the way to the ends of the earth. Well, up until chapter 8, they'd been witnessing there in Jerusalem. And they'd seen many people come to know the Lord. You remember, 3,000 got saved on one day. Now, I would say that's a good church service, amen? You know, that's good. And the church was growing. And they were sharing their faith there in Jerusalem. But God had to do something a little bit unique to get them outside of those walls. What we find here in chapter 8 is, friends, God used the persecution of the early church to get them outside of those walls and begin to spread the gospel. Did you know that God can take a bad situation and turn it into something good? Did you know that? Praise God that he can, amen? God can take a bad situation and turn it into good if we'll give it over to him. If we'll surrender it to him, if we'll turn to him instead of turning away from him. If we'll get the right mindset. Friends, I believe we need a change of attitude. I believe we need to get our mindset right. And so this morning, I want to give you some basic truths about life that will help us As we seek to get the right mindset of what God wants us to so that he can take our bad situations and turn them into good. So look at your outline this morning. Number one, the first basic truth we need to accept, and listen, I expect a hearty amen because we really all know this, don't we? Sometimes God allows bad things to happen to good people. We've all witnessed it, haven't we? We've all seen it, and maybe you've been one that's had some things happen to you. Maybe you've had some difficult times in your life. Maybe you're going through something difficult right now. Friends, the reality is that sometimes God allows bad things to happen to good people, even Christians, right? I would say particularly Christians. Let's look at our text today. That's exactly what we see in our text today. Listen, you know, what we're going to see today is this was not some pleasant stuff for these early Christians, right? This was not pleasant. This was not something they would want, you'd want anybody to go through. What happened there at the end of chapter 7? What did we look at a couple of weeks ago? Last week, we were doing the leadership team, and we looked at biblical church leadership. But 2 weeks ago, as we looked at the end of chapter 7, remember we found Stephen, one of the first deacons, was martyred for his faith. He was killed for his faith. Now, we don't face that kind of persecution here in America, do we? Praise God we don't. There may be a day coming that we do, but listen, the kind of persecution we face here in America is nothing to that extent. But Stephen gave his very life for the gospel. He didn't back down. They voted him in as a deacon. What happened? Then he began to preach, and as he gave his defense before the Sanhedrin, they didn't like what he had to say. And as he stood before them, he pointedly called them out. Listen, you crucified God's Messiah. Just as your fathers before you, he said to them, rejected the prophets, you have rejected God's anointed one. And guess what happened? They got mad. They got mad, they got furious, and they rushed at him. You remember? They took stones up, and they began to stone him, took him outside of town, and they stoned him, killed him by throwing stones at him. Now, look at verse 1. Verse 1 says here, now Saul was consenting to his death. Saul, which is who? Later on became the Apostle Paul. This is pre the Apostle Paul. This is before he got saved, okay? Paul was a zealous Jew. He was zealous in his faith as a Jew and in Judaism. He was a Pharisee, and he did everything he could to stamp out Christianity. He didn't like Christ. He didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah at first, and here he was, consenting. Really, he was the ringleader behind Stephen's death. And what we see here is that the death of Stephen and the ones who were behind that, Paul and those others, spurred on great persecution against the church. Look what it says. It says, at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. But as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. So what we see here is, right after Stephen's death, that spurred on a time of great persecution for the church. And as the church began to be persecuted, they were arrested, taken off to prison, many of them began to flee. And they left Jerusalem, and they began to get out, leave Jerusalem, and go out through Judea and Samaria. If they were staying in Jerusalem, those were being dragged off. They're being arrested and taken to prison. Friends, because of the persecution, many of them were forced to flee and leave Jerusalem. You know, it's very easy when bad things happen to get a victim mentality, isn't it? You know, those Christians could have gotten that kind of a mindset. Why is God letting this happen to us? You know, here we are. We're faithfully serving the Lord. Can you believe what happened to Stephen? How could God let that happen? Now, how could he let this happen to our brothers and sisters? How come God's allowing them to be arrested and taken off to prison? That could have been their mindset, right? But was it? Not at all. Not at all. It wasn't. In fact, what we see then, we're going to see here in a few minutes, is they had a totally different mindset than that. About a month ago, on a Sunday morning at a sister church of ours up on the kind of the north side of town, New Life Baptist Church in Osceola, I was talking with the pastor a few weeks ago, and it was about a month ago, they got to church one morning to discover that someone or someone's had decided to cut all of their air conditioning units right at the building. I don't know how many units they had around their church, but somebody vandalized the building, but not just for vandalism. They took the copper and all the metal and stuff and took it and sold it and so forth. You know, it's in time like something like that happens, it's very easy for us to go, why? How dare somebody treat the church of God that way, right? Well, this Pastor Mike is a friend of mine, and he said he just felt impressed by the Spirit of God. What he did was, with everybody asking questions and saying why, luckily it wasn't a very hot morning, right? It was still kind of cool and stuff. But what he did was something unusual. During their worship service, he took a few moments and said, listen, most of you know what happened this morning. And our natural tendency is to be angry at those people and to be mad at them and to, you know, start, why in the world would they do such a thing? He said, we need to have a corporate time where we forgive whoever it is that did this to our church. And so they took a few minutes in their worship service, and they just prayed, and he encouraged the church members to all just forgive in their hearts those who had vandalized the church and who had taken those air conditioning units. Now, you say, what's unique about that, Pastor? Well, I think that's pretty neat. I think it's, you know, it shows a heart what we need to have, amen, that we need to forgive others. We need to be quick to forgive. But what he did and what happened that morning spurred on something even more exciting. You see, there was a young man there that morning. And that young man had been blaming God for everything that had been happening in his life. His life wasn't going the way he wanted it to go. His life wasn't turning out the way he wanted it to turn out. And so he was blaming God and blaming others for, God, why'd you allow this to happen? And why this? And why this? And why am I where I am? And that morning he realized that bad things even happen to churches. And guess what? He gave his life to the Lord. He got saved because somebody stole the air conditioning units at a church. Friends, God can take a bad situation and he can turn it into good. Amen? He can do that. But friends, what we first have to realize is that sometimes bad things happen to good people. Let me ask you a question. When bad things happen to you, do you shake your fist at God? Maybe situations going on in your life, or your life has not turned out the way you wanted it to, or you know what, we all get to that point in life, and you know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas, right? You know, if I'd have just done this, or things would have happened differently, or my parents would have done this differently, or what have you. Friends, we need to stop blaming others for the things that are going on in our life, amen? We need to just start realizing that, guess what? We live in a fallen world. Can we just admit that? We live in an imperfect world, amen? We live in an imperfect world, and we're all imperfect people, right? We're all imperfect people. And let me give you, we're all imperfect people, and what we need to understand is, friends, bad things happen to everybody. We could go around the room here this morning, and every single one of us would have multiple stories of the things that have transpired in our lives that are not exactly the way we would have liked them to happen. Amen? That's the way it is. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. It says, for God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Now, I have to confess something. That's the verse I quote when we're playing softball and we get rained out, okay? God sends rain on the just and the unjust, right? You know, which ones are we? Anyway. But here's the deal. Everybody experiences good and bad in their life. More than likely, no one's to blame for the bad things that have happened to you. They've just happened, right? You know, it's like when the disciples asked Jesus the question. They saw this, the blind man, and they said, Jesus, who sinned, him or his parents? They thought it had to be somebody, right? And what did Jesus say? Neither. But this has happened so that God may be glorified. And then Jesus healed him. Friends, many of the things that happen in our lives, they just happen. Nobody's to blame. Now, I understand there are some things that have happened in your life that maybe are caused by others. But here's the deal. Even if somebody is to blame, what are we supposed to do? Forgive them. As God in Christ has forgiven us, we also are to forgive those who have sinned against us. Amen? Listen, how many of you would really want others to blame you for the things that you have done and the mistakes that you have made that have affected other people's lives? You want them to blame you for that? I don't think so, right? So we need to show grace to others, amen? We need to show grace to others. See, it's always we're the offended and never the offender. But we need to understand, friends, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Number two, the second thing kind of flows right out of that. And it has to do with, we need to change our mindsets, okay? And we need to see the bad things that happen. I'm going to switch this around just for a second. We need to see the bad things that happen not as instruments of defeat, but as opportunities for the gospel. We need to see the bad things that happen and look at them and say, you know what? How can God use this either in my life or in somebody else's life to further the gospel? And that gives us a whole different perspective, amen? Now, we just said a few minutes ago that those early Christians could have gotten a victim mentality. They could have, well, why is God allowing this to happen to us? I can't believe God allowed Stephen, as good a man as he was, to be killed. Why? But did they? That's not the attitude. Look at verse 4. They were even, not only were they asking questions, but they were, many of them were forced out of their homes. They were forced to leave town because of the persecution. Verse 4 says this. It says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. What did they do? They saw it as an opportunity for the gospel. Philip joined in with it here. Another one of the deacons said, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So Philip went preaching Christ. Those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the gospel. They didn't see that as something bad that happened to them. You know what they said? Hey, we're going on an adventure, right? They looked at it as the opportunity to share the gospel. You see, friends, I believe it's not what happens to us in life that determines the future, but it's how we respond to it that really matters. Did you catch that? It's not what happens to us that determines our future, but it's how we respond to what happens that makes the difference. You see, here's what I want to do this morning. I want to give you a new perspective. I want you to begin to look at life differently. I want you to begin to look at life, as Chris was talking about, as we are to be Christians who are to be salt and light in the world. Amen? So when something bad happens to you, what's our first tendency? Our first tendency is to say, oh, not again, right? You know, oh, I can't believe this is happening. You know, oh, you know, let's say we had one of our young men, unfortunately, pray for him. Pat Dodd had a freak accident at home. He was playing with his kids and broke his foot, shattered his foot just the other day. You know, I was preparing this and I said, boy, I can't use that illustration. But imagine if something like that happened to you or you broke your arm or something like that. Obviously, we're going to be bummed. We don't want that to happen then. I feel bad for Pat and stuff. But here's the thing. We need to get a different mindset, okay? How could God use this as an opportunity for the gospel? Maybe when you go to the ER, maybe God's placed somebody there that he wants you to minister to. Did you ever think about that before? Did you ever think about the fact that maybe those nurses or those doctors, God has put you there in order to be salt and light to them and to share what Christ has done in your life with them? Or maybe it's something different. Maybe your car breaks down on the side of the road. You know, oh, not again, right? And it's very easy to become defeated and discouraged or angry or bitter, all those things. But instead of allowing those emotions to get you, say, you know what? God must have a reason for this. And then we become, open up our eyes and take our blinders off. We begin to say, you know, how could God want to use this as an opportunity for the gospel? You know, maybe there's a tow truck driver that he wants you to witness to. Or maybe the mechanic that you take your car to. You know, maybe you've been having a conversation with them about the gospel. You know, I've often wondered, there are certain times that God causes my car to continue to break down an awful lot. Sometimes I wonder if he ain't saying, listen, I'm going to let this thing keep breaking down until you start witnessing to this guy, you know? And so we need to think about it. You know, God, I believe God allows things like that to happen. He puts us in circumstances and situations where we need to open our eyes. You know, maybe you've received some really terrible health news, or you have to go for extra tests and stuff. Instead of being defeated, discouraged, angry, bitter at God, let's start to look for the greater purpose of God in that. Amen? How many of you remember the story? Back on Sunday, January 8th, 1956, on the shore of a lonely river deep in the Ecuadorian jungle, five missionaries were murdered by primitive Alca Indians. Many of you have heard this story before. News of the massacre shocked the world. To some, their deaths seemed like a senseless tragedy. Their missionary careers cut short, their wives now without husbands, their children fatherless. But I want you to listen to what Elizabeth Elliot, one of the widows of Jim Elliot, one of those men that were killed, said. She said, to the world at large, this was a sad waste of five young lives. But God has his plan and purpose in all things. There were many whose lives were actually changed by what happened in that Ecuadorian jungle that night. For one, she said, in the nearby country of Brazil, a group of Indians at a mission station deep in the Mato Grosso, upon hearing the news, dropped to their knees and cried out to God for forgiveness for their own lack of concern for fellow Indians who did not know Christ. It compelled them in their sharing of the gospel. An Air Force major stationed in England had many hours of jet flying, immediately began to make plans to join the Missionary Aviation Fellowship. A missionary in Africa wrote, our work will never be the same. We knew two of the men. Their lives have left an indelible mark on us. Off the coast of Italy, an American naval officer was involved in an accident at sea. As he floated alone on a raft out in the sea, he recalled Jim Elliot's words, which he had read at one time, which said, when it comes to die, make sure that all you have to do is die. And he prayed that he might be saved, knowing that he had more to do than just die. He wasn't ready, and God answered his prayer and saved him. He was rescued. In Des Moines, Iowa, an 18-year-old boy prayed for a week in his room after he heard about the five senseless deaths of those missionaries. After a week, he came out of his room, announced to his parents, I'm turning my life over completely to the Lord. I want to try to take the place of one of those five. Friends, what to us many times seems like a senseless tragedy. This, to our human thinking, can seem like a senseless tragedy, but it became a powerful impetus for the mighty movement of God. Friends, God moved and much advancement came out of it for the gospel. Friends, the same was true of Stephen's death here in Acts chapter 7. Think about it. If it wasn't for Stephen's death, there wouldn't have been the persecution along with that. There wouldn't have, the Christians wouldn't have had to leave Jerusalem and get out. And what we're going to see here in a few minutes is there were people that got saved because of that and came to know Christ. Friends, I believe God wants to do a similar thing with the bad situations in our lives. Listen, if we'll turn them over to him, if we'll be aware of that we are his and that we are to be salt and light in the world, then God can do great things in that. Amen? First of all, we got to accept that sometimes God allows bad things to happen to good people. Second, we've got to begin to see those bad things that happen to us as opportunities for the gospel instead of reasons to be defeated. And the third thing that we need to see this morning comes right out of that, friends, is we need to take advantage of those opportunities. And when we do, God can do something miraculous. God can bring immense good out of the bad. He can turn the bad into good. Amen? He can do that. Look at what happened as a result of them going out of Jerusalem and sharing the gospel. Said that whenever they're preaching the word, verse 5 says, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Verse 6, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So what happened? There were many who came to know Christ that day, many who got saved, many who gave their lives over to him, and their lives were changed. They were transformed. Look at what verse 7 says. Unclean spirits came out of them. Many who were possessed and many who were paralyzed and lamed were healed. Philip healed as well and were doing many signs and wonders in the name of Christ. And verse 8 says, and there was great joy in that city. Friends, pretty much the whole city of Samaria came to know Christ. They gave their lives to Jesus Christ, and the whole city rejoiced. Friends, if we, during those difficult times of life, will be obedient to share our faith, if we'll look for opportunities to build bridges and tell people about Jesus, then guess what? God will draw people unto himself and will bring great joy into their lives and into ours. Friends, that's what God wants to do. Amen? That's what God wants to do. He wants us as his children. We are his missionaries. You know, many people think, you know what? I could see God calling me to be a missionary overseas one day. You know, I've talked to many people who say, you know what, I've kind of wondered if God didn't call me to be a missionary to Asia or to Africa or to where the 1040 window and some of those areas over there. Friends, let me give you a little hint here. Friends, we're called to be missionaries right where we are. And if we're not missionaries here, there's no way we're going to flip a switch and be a missionary over there. It starts right here. God has given us a world around us that needs to know Christ. And we need to get a different mindset, friends. Not a mindset that's all focused on us. That when something bad happens, it gets us down and discouraged and all that. But we allow him to change our mindset. Friends, when something bad happens, you don't get defeated. Don't get discouraged. Begin to ask the question, how does God want to use this situation that I'm going through for the furtherance of the gospel? Maybe he wants to do something in your life. Listen, we could all look back and look at the difficult times in our life and see how God has grown us through that. Amen? You know, and every time when something bad happens in our life, we have a choice. Are we going to choose to run to God? Or are we going to choose to turn away from him? I want to encourage you, turn to him. Amen? Turn to the Lord. Trust him. Rely on him in that difficult situation. That's what he wants. He's standing there with his arms wide open for you. Friends, he wants to use that in your life. But he also wants to use the difficult times we go through in our life as opportunities for us to minister to others, as opportunities for the furtherance of the gospel. Friends, I want to encourage you to begin looking for those opportunities. Begin looking for opportunities to minister to those you come in contact with, even in the difficult situations. Some people say, you know what, Pastor? I just don't like my work situation. I don't like it. You know, there's not many Christians there, you know, and it's just a bad environment. Guess what? My guess would be if that's your thinking, God has you exactly where he wants you. Listen, God doesn't want us just to be in Christian environments all the time. Amen? He doesn't want us to be in Christian environments all the time. Listen, if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would I be? Amen? So we need to have compassion on others. And friends, that work situation that you may think is such a terrible situation, yeah, it might be. But guess what? Maybe God wants you to change that situation. Maybe God wants you to minister to those. Maybe you're in a situation where you come in contact with a lot of different people. And you say, I don't know how I can handle dealing with all these people. It's just too many people. You know, I could get a lot of work done if it just wasn't for people, right? Do you ever think that those people may be the ones God wants you to minister to? Maybe the ones God wants you to find out what's going on in their life? And find out, you know, how that you can share the good news of Jesus Christ with them to help them. Listen, we know that Christ is the answer to all of our issues, all of our problems. Amen? When we found our life on Christ, not only is our eternity secure, but he gives us a peace, a joy, and contentment that will help carry us through anything. So friends, God wants to use you in those situations to minister to others. Whatever the bad situation you think you're in, friends, God wants to use you. Then we'll be able to say, like Joseph did way back in the Old Testament. You remember Joseph? What happened to Joseph? His brothers, they wanted to kill him, but they wouldn't let him. One of them wouldn't let him, right? And so instead, he said, no, let's sell him into slavery. And so they sold him into slavery, and then God had different plans for that, right? That was not something that was good, but God used that later on to save his family and to preserve the Jewish nation. And Joseph says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Friends, what somebody else might have meant for evil, what could have been evil, God can use and turn into good. Amen? If we'll just let him. Emmanuel Lihe, I want you to listen to his story. He returned home one night to find police waiting for him. There had been a murder in the village in which he lived in the West African country of Togo, and his name was at the top of the suspect list. So they handcuffed him, arrested him, and took him back to the police station where he was questioned late into the night, and then he was detained. Well, as many times happens in these third world countries, they just kind of kept him there. And hours turned into days, days turned into weeks. He remained at the police station until eventually they transferred him to the main prison in the capital city of Lomé. Now, this was not a good transfer. This was a worse situation because the main prison in Lomé was a terrible, severely inhumane prison. But get this, he remained there 5 years and 4 days. Over half a decade. And the problem was that he was innocent, and he was ultimately found innocent. But it didn't matter. The inept judicial system of the country of Togo had failed him. He remained locked up in an extremely overcrowded prison full of violence, infectious disease, and inadequate food and water. Friends, that'd be enough for many of us to go nuts, wouldn't it? Go crazy. Why in the world would God allow this to happen to us? Why would God allow this to happen to me? And Emmanuel Lihe struggled to understand why he was placed in prison, but God began to teach him something. God began to teach him that his detainment had a purpose. And his purpose was that he was there to minister to his fellow inmates. Emmanuel Lihe began to preach and teach and share the word of God with his fellow inmates. And guess what? Many of them came to know Christ. In fact, after his 5 years and 4 days was up and he finally got released, Emmanuel Lihe was back in the regular world. He struggled to find work. He struggled to find real purpose in his getting back into daily life. He knew something was missing. So he did the unthinkable. In fact, he returned to the prison where he was unjustly detained to continue the ministry that God gave him there. Even though he's no longer a prisoner, Emmanuel Lihe returns on a regular basis to the prison that unjustly detained him in order to share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. Friends, Emmanuel Lihe found his purpose. God's greater purpose. How? By not letting his circumstance control him, but by seeing the opportunity for the gospel in the midst of a terrible situation. Emmanuel Lihe went from becoming a victim to a victor. Amen? Friends, God wants the same thing for you. But we've got to change our mindset. We've got to first stop blaming God for all the things that happen in our life. Amen? We got to stop blaming God. Listen, most of the things we blame God for, you know who's at fault? We are. Okay? We are. Something dumb or stupid or accidental, whatever that we've done. Many things we blame God on, nobody's at fault, friends. But the reality is, as we said, we live in a fallen world with fallen people. Let's just accept the fact that God allows bad things to happen to good people. Friends, we need to begin to get outside of our own mindset. We need to begin to look at those bad situations as opportunities for the gospel. If you want to stop having a victim mentality and start having a victor mentality, then you got to change your mindset and say, you know what? God has called me to be a missionary. Have you ever thought about that before? Every single believer is a minister. Every single believer is to be a missionary in the world that God has placed you, in the context God has placed you, in your neighborhood, in your work, in your family. And friends, sometimes it's during the difficult situations that God gives us the greatest fruitfulness with that. Amen? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you looking outside of yourself? Are you willing to change your mindset and allow God to change your heart? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I've had that victim mentality. But God, I confess that that is a wrong attitude. You know, sometimes we blame our attitudes on others and we don't realize that our own bad attitudes are sinful. Did you know that? We need to confess that to God. So this morning, if you've had that victim mentality, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Confess that to God as sin. Ask Him to change your heart. And submit yourself over to Him and say, God, I want to begin to see things the way you want me to see them. That you have placed me there, that you have allowed those things to happen for a reason. And that, God, if I will just listen to you and be obedient to you and walk with you in it and through it, you'll bring good out of it. Amen? Amen. I'll ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. I want to ask you just a couple questions. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you need to confess that you've had a victim mentality, that you've blamed God or you've blamed others and stuff, but today you realize that's wrong, that's sin, and you need to get that out of your thinking. Would you just confess that to God right now? Would you raise your hand and say, Lord, would you just thank you, forgive me for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to ask you, would you be willing to admit that maybe one of the reasons that you're struggling in your life is because of your own sin and because you have a need there, and that's for God to forgive you of that and to cleanse you and to reconcile you to Himself? Would you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you trust that He died for you on the cross and rose again? And put your faith and trust in Him and Him alone for salvation. Because the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you today call on the name of the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, please come into my life. I believe you are who you said you are and did what you said you did. And I want to trust you as my Lord and Savior of my life. Friends, would you this morning say, Lord, I'm willing, Lord, to allow you to change my attitude and to change my heart. Help me to get a missionary mindset, Lord, to begin to look at the bad things that happen to me as opportunities for the gospel and not just instruments of defeat. Heavenly Father, Lord, would you work in our hearts today? Lord, sometimes we've hardened our hearts so much, Lord. We need you to break us. Lord, we've become so routine in our attitudes and in our thoughts and in our, it's become a habit to us, Lord. Lord, would you break through those today? Lord, help us realize where our attitudes have not been honoring and glorifying to you. Lord, we confess that to you and we turn from it today. We turn to you as the only provider and sustainer of life, the Savior. Lord Jesus, we trust what you've done. Lord, I lift up those to you today. Each and every person here, Lord, that we will get a mindset that the bad things that happen to us, Lord, you can still work in and through them. Lord, help us to see those as opportunities for the gospel and not as instruments of defeat. We love you. Lord, work in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, we're going to open up our altar here. maybe God spoke to your heart, some things you need to do business with him about, I want to invite you to come and do that today. Maybe there's another decision that you've made. Maybe you've invited Christ and said, you know what, today I want to turn my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We would rejoice with you in that. Praise God with you for that. Maybe today you want to become a part of this fellowship and you say, you know what, I want to be a part of a fellowship that is reaching out into the community. We want to invite you to do that and come join this church body. Whatever it is, friends, we're going to begin to sing. And as we do, would you come? Let's stand together.
In a sorrow's Lamb of God.
As we sing, you come.
By his own betrayal, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus' way. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Of heaven, God's own Son, to purchase and redeem and reconcile the very ones who nailed him to that tree. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee.
Now my debt.
Now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me.
Whom the
Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. See, the stone is rolled away. Behold the empty tomb. Hallelujah, God be praised. He's risen from the grave. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured
was one more, right, Gladys? All right, there we go. All right, good deal. Have a seat, if you will, for just a moment, all right? I got some folks to introduce to you this morning. But before we do that, take your communication card out, your Connect card. If you haven't done so already, if you'll put your name on there, we would appreciate that. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're glad you're here. And as Brother Dan said at the beginning, we have a DVD, a free gift for you. It's called The Case for Christ. If you'll either see me right out here or come to our welcome desk, that's a free gift of ours to you just for visiting with us today. Our ushers are going to come, put your cards in the basket. One quick thing, ladies, there is a daytime connect group. Meets on Wednesday mornings. And if your schedule is such that that works for you, they would invite you to join them. The bulletin talks about it. They're going to be beginning a new study on June 4th. What happens when women say yes to God? So you can sign up on your Connect card. If you have more questions, put that on there. And Danica Brolin can get back with you about that. All right. Good deal. No activities tonight. Spend that time with your family. All right. Happy Memorial Day. And if you haven't picked up one already, there are Our Daily Breads out here on some of the tables. Those are free. It's a good way to, something good to use for devotionals in your home, okay? So I want to encourage you to pick one of those up and enjoy the week with your family, all right? Enjoy today, enjoy tomorrow. All right, good deal. Now, I got some folks to introduce to you. Let's see if my memory serves me well, all right? So we have Donna Williams comes this morning. And I had a chance to talk with her. She's been saved and been baptized, and it's kind of been around for a while. So she's come and wants to become a member of Southside Baptist Church this morning. All God's people said, amen. 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 Donna, we welcome you this morning. Good to have you. Now stay right there, all right? Dave, Kathy, y'all come on up, Nana. Dave and Kathy Nuna, had a chance to talk with them, and they've been saved and have been baptized and want to become a part of Southside. And their daughter, Anna, here, they have an older daughter that's of a college age, which is Kayla, right? Make sure I get all those names right. Dave and Kathy, Anna, we welcome you guys. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Good to have you guys. All right. And then next we have Manny Emanuel and Jennifer Navarro and their kids, Manuel Jr., right? Or is it the third or junior? Okay, there we go. And Veronica, their daughter, and then Valentina is over in the nursery, right? So good deal. Had a chance to speak with them, and they've been saved and been baptized and want to become a part of the fellowship here. God's people said, amen. Amen. We welcome you guys this morning. We welcome you guys. All right. Come on down here. And then one more family this morning, Jeff and Sue Thompson and their boys. But now they've mixed it up on me. All right. Carter, Riley, and Isaac. All right. Come this morning. And they've been visiting with us for a while. And they've been saved. They've all been saved and been baptized and want to become a part of the fellowship here at Southside as well. All God's people said, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. We're grateful for each and every one of you and welcome you into the family, all right? I want you guys to come up and welcome them this morning, okay? Introduce yourself to them and amen. Hey, it's not 3,000 on one day, but we're getting kind of close here, all right? So there we go. All right. Good to have you guys with us. Let's pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's go out and be the church, all right? Let's live for Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. We thank You for just the opportunity to be in Your house, Lord. Lord, we thank You for the grace and the mercy that You poured out on the cross for us. Lord, it's the reason we live. We live out of love for You because You first loved us. So, Lord, help us this week to go out and be salt and light in our world, Lord. Lord, help us to be aware of how You want to work, Lord. Even when bad things happen, Lord, help us to keep our eyes on You, keep our eyes off of ourselves, focused on others, Lord, and allow You to work through us. Lord, I thank You for those who have come this morning, Lord, and just lift them up to You, Lord, that You will continue to work in their lives and grow them, Lord, as they come to be a part of Southside, Lord, that they'll get plugged in to connect groups and friends and places of service, Lord, that You will be honored and glorified through it all. Lord, we love You and thank You. Jesus, in Your precious holy name we pray. Amen.